Shabbat Shalom. It's again, Wisdom and Torah Ministries, and it's an honor to be here and share the wonderful works of the Torah and how we can understand certain principles according to the Word of Yahweh. Today's teaching is going to be on a subject that is basically creating a lot of wrinkles in the Messianic movement. Normally, my teachings are more really edifying to unify the body of Messiah, but right now I'm confronted everywhere I go with teachings about disunity and separation. Gentiles coming into the faith who really want to seek out Yahweh in spirit and truth, and my Jewish brothers are treating them like second-class citizens. We have to address this issue. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through Scripture, and I will give you a lot of Scripture, and we're going to go and find out what Yahweh says. What does He say? Does Yahweh say that a foreigner or a stranger who dwells within your gates, is he part of the congregation? Does he have the same type of for rights as you do? Or is he a second-class citizen? Just sit in the back, don't talk. You're not a Jew. It's okay. You don't have to keep all the commandments. Just do only this seven. Only do these. Only do the ones that know our God. B'nei Noach, the sons of Noah. You're just the son of Noah. You're not really an Israelite. You're not, no, forget about the word Israelite. You're not a Jew. You know, you just follow along, sit there and learn. And you don't really have to follow Torah if you don't want to. It's not for you. That's what they're teaching. Messianic believers are teaching this. What is wrong? What is happening? So what happened to the body of Messiah? What happened to the perfect work of the Messiah? Did he come to do away with something? Or did he come to restore and reunite again the people of Israel? I'm only going to give you a small introduction with over 20 verses. You know, we're going to let the word speak on its own. Adam, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, Aaron, Moses. None of them were Jews. None of them were Jews. Moses was from the tribe of Levi. Aaron was from the tribe of Levi. Yosef was from the tribe of Yosef. Yaakov, that's where the name Israel came from. Okay, that's the change to his name, Israel. Yitzhak, he was not a Jew. Abraham was not a Jew. Noah was not a Jew. Abel was not a Jew. And Adam was not a Jew. So do they have full rights in the blessings? Are they considered part of the commonwealth of Israel? Are they considered part of the household of God? We got a problem, because Judaism says that if you're a Gentile coming into the faith, now you're no longer a Gentile, you're a ger. Not a goyim, but a ger, which is a stranger. It's a correct term. It's correct. What does a ger means? Let's go to that real quick. The word ger is from the Strong's 01481. 1481 in the Strong's Dictionary. A primitive route properly to turn aside from the road for a lodging or any other purpose. A sojourner, a guest, also to shrink, fear, as in a strange place. Also to gather for hostility, abide, assemble, dwell, gather together, inhabitant, remain, sojourn, stand in awe, stranger, so on and so forth. What does the word goyim, Gentile? Apparently from the same root as 1465 in the sense of massing, foreign nation, hence a Gentile. Also figuratively, a troop of animals, a flight of locusts, heathen, nation, people. That's the definition of a Gentile. Now, I am not a Gentile. Okay, even though I was a Sephardic origin, my families are Hebrews, actually from the tribe of Judah or Levi, one of the two, we don't know which one, but you know, from the southern kingdom, you know, coming in from Spain to the Canary Islands all the way to Puerto Rico and so on and so forth. You see, but the thing about it was that I was living like a goyim. I was living like a Gentile. What does the word goyim mean? The word goyim really means a heathen, a pagan, a murderer, a fornicator. So Yahweh takes you from being a what? A pagan, a heathen, a fornicator into to be what? Israel. He gives you a title of majesty, which means rulers with Elohim, rulers with God, Eloah. So he takes you from being a heathen to being a what? Israel. Now what's interesting is that you see my Jewish brothers, Yehudim, Yehuda, which is only one tribe, is trying to keep people to come in and graft themselves into. See, Yehuda, let me give you a real quick explanation, which a lot of my Messianic brothers are not getting, and I don't know why. See, all of the Jews are Israel, but not all Israel are Jews. It's like all of the priests were Levites, but not all the Levites are high priests. I mean, is that really hard to understand? It's 1 + 1 = 2, right? Or plus 1 + 1 = 4. It depends who you're talking to. You know, if you use Midrash, you use some of the other things, they can come up with their own explanations or what they think it is. The problem is that the Noahide laws, even though you find them in Genesis chapter 9, but it became instituted as a halakha in the rabbinical Judaism in the Talmudic times. In the Talmudic times. It was not something that was completely, you know, it was shown by Yahweh, given to Noah after the flood as a way of keeping order after the flood, right? But does that mean that you're not going to keep the Torah? Was there a Torah before Noah, before Moses? Let's go to Genesis 26. Is this making sense so far? There's a division amongst Messianic believers. And I know of some congregations in which they'll make you feel like you can't be a member if you're a Gentile origin. If you're Jewish, okay, fine, you can be a member. You can't be in leadership if you're a Gentile. We're going to study if that's really what the Bible and what Yahweh says. Now, in Genesis 26, verse 5 says, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my Torah." But wait a minute, this was Abraham. It's almost 400 years before Moses, right? So, were there commandments? Noah knew what was clean and unclean, didn't he? Didn't he build an altar and offer a sacrifice unto Yahweh? How did he know how to do that? Okay, Abraham understood these principles. Isaac understood these principles. Yaakov understood these principles, right? Amen. Give you another example real quick. In Orthodox Judaism, in Exodus, when you go to the mixed multitude, right? The Orthodox Judaism says, oh, the mixed multitude were the ones who built the golden calf or who enticed Aaron to build it, which, okay, fine, I'm going to give it to you. That's cool. Okay, but we got a problem. See, when you go to Exodus chapter 32, in the judgment of the idolatry of Israel, says, then he took Exodus 32, verse 20. Exodus 32, verse 20. I'm going to read from verse 19. And it says, "And so it was, and as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it to on the water and made the children of Israel drink it." I got a question for you. If it was the mixed multitude, the Gentiles that came out of Egypt were the children of Israel, right? Which in Exodus chapter 12 tells you that there was a mixed multitude, a great mixed multitude. Yeah. Then why did Moses make the children of Israel drink it if they did not worship the golden calf? It makes no sense. See, Moses is not making he's not a respected person. You sin, the congregation, you're going to find out which one it was. Because you see, they all look the same. 3 million people in the wilderness. You can hide yourself when you do something wrong, right? He goes, I got to make everybody drink here because I can't really know. See, the Hebrews have been living in Egypt for over 200 years. So therefore, they look, they spoke, they acted like the Egyptians. We're coming out of the wilderness. So all of a sudden now, we need to find out, well, which ones are they? The mixed multitude? Well, which one are they? They all look the same. We have inherited. How many congregations do you go to that it looks like you're in church? They're making the transition to the Messianic movement. Are you going to judge them? No, they're making the transition like we all had to at one point or another. Eventually, and I hope soon, they start walking in Torah observancy completely and they move away from the inheritance that we have received from the past. You understand? Did that make sense? Have you ever seen it that way before? So if it was the mixed multitude, like the Orthodox Judaism's always blame the mixed multitude for everything, then you see, what's interesting is they forget. In order for the mixed multitude to leave Egypt, Think about this. What did they have to do? They have to do two things. They have to, exactly. See, they have to kill the lamb in their houses and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost by faith. Or graft themselves into a Hebrew home and believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that the blood of the lamb will protect their firstborn, even though they're not really from the tribes of the Israel, from the Hebrews. Do you follow? Yeah. So if they didn't do that, then their firstborn will die. And I don't know about you, but if your firstborn has died, I don't think you're going to really go with the people who just supposedly killed your firstborn. You know? So in order for them to leave, they have to believe in the blood of the Lamb just like the Hebrews had to believe. There's no difference between one. That's what Paul is saying. There's no difference between Jew and a Gentile when it comes to what? The faith. The just shall live by faith. You confess them, you're part of the congregation. Just obey the commandments in which the congregation has to live by. That's exactly what Torah says. Now, Orthodox Judaism, what they do, they make your life miserable for 2 years if you want to convert to Judaism. They even have people watching you. And they discourage you instead of encouraging you to come to Torah. They discourage you 2 or 3 times. Are you sure? Oh, this is a bondage, or this is, you know, a yoke. You know, you have to really this. Living in Orthodox Judaism as a religion is actually bondage. You got to get up in the morning and find out which foot you got to put your shoes on first. Now, again, I'm being a Jew and I understand how they work, there's a lot of wisdom in Orthodox Judaism. But the lifestyle and the structure and the religion is not for me, because it was not for Yeshua, it's not for me. All right? So therefore, we have to understand this principle. So let's go through Scripture. And I'm sure some other stuff, you know, I thought about doing it one way and it always changes. The title of the message is One Torah, One People, Israel. Okay, and that's what Paul was conveying in Colossians and in Ephesians and in Romans. He's trying to explain, in Galatians, he's trying to explain how can a Gentile can be justified to be part of the congregation. He said, by keeping the works of the law, the Matzeh HaTorah. Matzeh HaTorah, according to Hebrew understanding, is the Torah Sheveh Alpeh, which is the oral traditions. The oral law. How many of you knew that there are two laws working in Judaism, Orthodox Judaism? There's the oral traditions and the written Torah. You see what I mean? A lot of people have no idea. Especially 99.99999 of Christianity. They read the book of Galatians, they have no clue. Oh, but you know, but the works of the law. Those are the ritual laws. No, it's not. It's talking about the Torah Sheveh Alpeh, the oral law. And Paul is making a distinction. Nobody in Israel at the time of the first century knew the oral law better than Paul. Peter didn't know it as well. You see, Paul, Rav Shaul, was a scholar. He was raised to the field of Gamaliel. That means that by the time he was 20 years old, this guy was sharp. He knew the Torah verbatim. He was starting Genesis and finishing Deuteronomy like by memory. Look, I got to have a computer. With all the verses already neatly positioned in a place so I could follow a sequence, and I always get away from it anyway. You see what I mean? So if we do not understand the context and we don't understand the reasons why they were talking, that we're always going to miss, and we are going to make distinction between people, black, white, Chinese, Puerto Ricans, you know, Jew, Gentile. But wait a second. Isn't Adam... The work of Adam was to multiply and be fruitful so the whole world will come to the knowledge as one people, one lineage, one genealogy to worship Yahweh the Creator. Isn't that the whole intent of man? So it doesn't really matter what color you are. What do we have in common? Do you love Yahweh just like I do? What is our goal, the kingdom? How are we going to get there? How were we able to walk in the path through Yeshua, right? So how are we going to get there? By obeying Torah. So we don't have to agree. We don't even have to like each other. The Bible says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say you have to like him. Right? So therefore now, when you and I walking by the way, our goal is the kingdom. The way that we came into the world is through Yeshua HaMashiach. What's going to guide us to the goal is the Messiah through the Torah. Now, when you and I walking in obedience to the Torah, what we're trying to do is strengthen each other. So when you're strong and I'm weak, you pick me up. When I'm strong and you're weak, I'll pick you up. But we're still walking in a parallel line straight over there. You might have a different interpretation of what you think it says here and there, but it doesn't matter. You see, let's focus on the goal, the kingdom. Because it'll come to the point when we get to the kingdom, when Yeshua is teaching us the Torah from Mount Zion, trust me. Even he'll say, Rico, remember when you were teaching about that particular verse? Let me really explain what it meant. And I'm going to be sitting there. I said, sorry. But I'm here. You know, we're walking in that direction. So it doesn't matter whether you believe in two houses or one house, or whether you believe his name is Yahweh or Yahoshua or Yahweh or whatever. We agree on one thing. Yeshua is Mashiach. Torah is our lifestyle and the way of living. And we're heading to the kingdom to meet our Creator. Everything else will be resolved as we walk through. Let's just keep following the cloud. See, what happens is we blame Israel for all the mistakes they did in the desert, right? They did one thing right and they did it good. See, they murmured, they complained, they talked bad against Moses. Korah raised up and rebelled against the people. The guy picking up the sticks willingly and willfully, rebelliously said, I'm not going to keep Shabbat. And he was punished for it. The mixed multitude, supposedly, they worshipped the golden calf and they were punished for it. And the whole congregation had to drink because of their mistake. You see, so is he making a distinction? No. Okay, they doubted Yahweh. Well, they only wanted the manna. They even call it manna. What's that? What is it? Hey, they wanted quail, so he gave them quail until it came out of the noses. But you see, they did one thing that we need to learn from. And Paul told us, everything that happens to them happened as admonition and as examples for us. 1 Corinthians 10:11. See, every time they're walking by the way and they follow the cloud and that cloud stood still and sat on the tabernacle, they sat down. They still murmured. They still complained. They still wanted to go back to Egypt. They still talk bad against Moses. They still want to not like each other. But when that cloud got up, they packed their stuff and they walked by the way. They still murmured. They still complained. They still talk about Moses. But they followed the cloud. They follow the cloud, and that's really what matters. If you follow the cloud, you'll get to the promised land. Just follow the cloud. That's really what matters, okay? So now, does Yahweh lie or does he change his mind? Well, can we prove it? In Malachi 3:6 says, for I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Yaakov are not consumed. Thank the Creator that he doesn't change. Because if we did, we wouldn't be here. He wouldn't put up with our nonsense. It's because of Moses interceding for the people and then Yeshua interceding for us. You know, Yeshua was then our intercessor. We will be out, wiped out, done, cut off. Because we do everything possible to do away with really what Yahweh wants to give us. Numbers 23, verse 19. You're going to have to just write the verses because I'm going to go through a whole bunch of them. Elohim is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of a man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not he made it good? Amen. And Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 says, for Yahweh your Elohim, Elohim of Elohims, Adonai of Adonai, the great Elohim, mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh rewards. So wait a second. If we are trying to be the sons of Elohim, following Yahweh after, you know, through Yeshua HaMashiach, then shouldn't we do what Yahweh is teaching us to do? So if he doesn't care what color you are and what background you are, he accepts you for who you are, he justifies you to come in. Justification, he justifies you to come in by faith because you believe. Then why would I make a distinction between you and me? Yeah, because I found out I'm Jewish? Who cares? I just find out my identity. It explains everything in my life. Does that make me better than you? Absolutely not. If I'm not obeying the commandments, I'm not any better than you. It's just that I'm a disobeying Jew. It's worse. You see what I'm saying? So if you're a Gentile, you don't call yourself a Gentile anymore. If you believe in Yeshua. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Mixed multitude came out of Egypt. And what do they have to do to get out of Egypt? Like I explained earlier, they have to believe in the blood of the Lamb to get out of Egypt. So Exodus 12, verse 37 says, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children." Verse 38, "And a mixed multitude went also with them, and flocks, herds, even every much cattle." Right? So we know that there was a mixed multitude. But when we go to Exodus chapter 12, let's go to the same chapter, later in that chapter, when it talks about the requirement of keeping the feast. Listen to what it says. In verse 47, "And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger sojourns," a ger, not a Gentile, not a goyim, he's already in the congregation, he's a stranger now. By the way, according to Judaism, and according even to the Bible, there's God-fearing men. In the book of Exodus, in book of Acts talks about that. In the day of Pentecost, there were proselytes and God-fearing men. Remember? The centurion was a God-fearing man. See, a Jew doesn't need conversion. Did you know that? A Jew doesn't need to convert. Because they're still in covenant. They're disobeying to the covenant. See, but the Gentile is the one who needs to convert. They need to teshuvah, repent. I'm sorry. The Jew needs to teshuvah and return to the old ways. The Gentile needs to convert and change completely from their ways. It's a little. Does that make sense? Okay, so what happens is, when you come in here and you read, and it says, "And when a sojourner, a stranger sojourns with you and wants to keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised, and then he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One Torah shall be for the native born and for the strangers who sojourn among you." Does that say that you have no rights? Does that say that you're not going to partake of the Passover because you're a stranger? So if somebody comes to the door and believes in Yeshua and believes in Torah and believes in worshiping Yahweh in spirit and truth, can he not take of the Passover? What is the only requirement? That he will be circumcised. And what the circumcision means? The seal and the sign of the covenant. It's not for salvation. It's the seal and the sign of the covenant. In other words, what it means is you are entering into a covenant. Remember a long time ago when I talked about our spiritual walk in the life of Abraham here? And you all had a crack out of start laughing at when I talk about Abraham. And Yahweh told him, "Hey, I want you to be circumcised." Remember, he was 50 years old when he left Ur. And then he was what, 75 when he got circumcised? 24 years. 24 years from the time he got called to the time that he came into a covenant of the circumcision. He did it by faith, right? But he walked out of Egypt by faith, right? Out of Ur. Okay, he walked out of Ur by faith. He heard the voice of Yahweh, and he obeyed the voice. Was he perfect? No. Did he make mistakes? Yes. Did he carry Lot with him? Yes. Did he give away his wife in Egypt? Yes. But then it comes to a maturity level. And this man went from parting with his wife because he was a coward afraid for his life, to putting his son on the altar, believing Yahweh that will raise him from the dead, even if he will kill him with it. I mean, how that happened? Unless you're not building a what? Relationship. Do I believe in circumcision? Absolutely. But it's only applicable to you if you have a deep relationship with Yahweh, that you understand that everything that comes out of that member gives life. And you say, "I want to give you my whole life. I want the whole world to know that I live for you and that everything that comes out of my body is for you." Abraham was so excited. He opened the knife. And he went after 400 of his servants. "Come on, cut it. Drop them. I'm coming into the covenant with the God of creation, the God of Adam. You are coming into it too." It was not up for discussion. You know what I'm saying? This guy, this old man running around the camp, circumcises what, 400 of them? Whole bunch? They didn't ask to come in the covenant. Yahweh asked him to come in the covenant. But imagine how wonderful Yahweh's blessings are, that when he came into the covenant, he goes, "Yo, all you guys need to come in the same covenant because look at the blessings that God's given me, that Yahweh's given me." Is this making sense? So imagine working for Abraham. You have no choice. Drop it, bro. I'm cutting you. You know, so imagine the chaos in that camp. Did Abraham make a distinction between Eliezer, who came from Damascus? That was his servant. He was a partaker. As a matter of fact, Yahweh was trying to talk to Abram. And Abram says, "Hey, I don't have a seed. I don't have an heir. I'm going to have to give it to my servant Eliezer." Wait a minute. He's not a Jew. Was he kept away from giving him the blessings just because he was from Damascus? You see what I mean? Talking about the blessing. Is this making sense? So now, is Yahweh respect of persons? Let's see what the Bible says. Leviticus 19 verse 15 says, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor." So that includes a Gentile or a Goyim, or a Gentile Goyim, who walks through the doors, who truly wants to seek out the ways of Yahweh. I'm supposed to do righteousness towards him. So if somebody who's not a Jew comes in through the door and says, "You know what? I want your people to be my people. I want your Elohim to be my Elohim. Where you go, I'll go. Good enough for me." You believe in Yeshua? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, well, sit down. Let's learn about Torah together. So that when I mess up, don't judge me. You see, because we're walking towards the goal. And I know I'm going to fall just like the children did. But when I fall, don't judge me. And if you judge me, do it in righteousness and justice. Pick me up and encourage me to move forward in holiness and obedience. Don't just set me aside just because I'm a Gentile. Isn't that incredible, the beautiful mercy of Elohim? It's beyond our understanding. See, every time we come to our understanding of what righteousness is, we mess it all up. We think we're holier than thou, you see? How many of you know about the Torah terrorists? Hey, Tony, we all been there, right? You know, because we have the zeal about the Torah. And we have the zeal about righteousness and truth. That when you come to this understanding, you hate everybody for a while because everybody lied to you. Your pastor, your mom, your mother, your grandmother. And you don't want to talk to anybody who you knew. You said, "Get away from me." You lie. No, we just don't know. We have been in ignorance. We have been, you know, kept from the truth. At the proper time, He opened our eyes. So let's just thank Yahweh that He's given us the foresight and the spirit to discern. And the scales came off our eyes so we can see truth. So what makes you better than anybody else who doesn't get it? Now, don't compromise the truth. It's to make them feel better. You want to serve Yahweh? You do it the way He says. Now, I need you to join me because I can't do it alone. See, you don't understand. See, the whole plan of Yahweh is perfect. See, He starts with Adam. He messed up. And then He allows the whole thing by firstborns. He gets to Noah. Then He gives it to Shem. Shem gives it to Abraham. Abraham to Yitzhak. Yitzhak to Yaakov. Yaakov to his children. And you see, He started with a firstborn, and then He goes to a congregation. He builds a people, a nation. Not because they're the biggest. Not because they're the best. No, because they're the least. And Yahweh uses the humble to bring down the proud. Okay? And He goes, "I'm going to give you a job. Your job is going to be to convey the Torah to the whole world because the Torah is the life of the world. And I want them to see the light in you. I want you to be the salt of the earth." See, the salt, when you toss it in the meat, right? The salt doesn't take the flavor of the meat. See, the salt flavors the meat. Christianity right now, they are doing the opposite. They're supposed to be the salt. But you see, well, they're taking the flavor of the meat. They're adapting to everything else just to keep people entertained. See, we are completely doing the opposite. We are the salt. Therefore, you're supposed to not acquire the bad habits of the world. This is not about entertainment. This is about obedience. See, this is not a democracy. This is about a theocracy from Yahweh. What He says goes. You're not going to like it. I'm not going to like it. It's not even about us. It's about worshiping Him. So He picked us and He chose us out of all the peoples of the earth for one purpose and one purpose only. To come together as a people to worship Him in spirit and truth. Yeah. To declare the glory of Yahweh on the earth, so when everybody sees me walking by the way, I am healthier than the world, I'm smarter than the world, because that's my wisdom as my Torah. Amen. I'm supposed to be healthy. So when all hell's breaking loose around me, "Yo man, how come you're not getting sick?" "Oh, let me tell you. Because see, I am a servant of Yahweh, Lord of hosts, the creator of the universe. Let me prove it to you. You see what science says, you know, don't eat this, don't eat this. Let me show what is in Vayikra in Leviticus. See, he already quoted. Wow, really? I never knew that. Yeah, because they're trying to take your money in the church. They're not telling you. It's true. See, they're making distinctive people. Deuteronomy 1:17 says, you shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment of Elohim's, the judgments is Elohim's. In other words, it's God's judgment, not man's. There it is. So when a Gentile comes through, he wants to serve Yahweh. And now, oh, you're just a Gentile. You're just not part of it. You can't be a member. Wait a minute. Judgments is Yahweh's, not yours. Okay? And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. So guess what? I'm taking it to Yahweh right now. Yahweh, Lord of hosts, our people are making distinction between Gentile and a Jew or an Israelite when they believing by faith and they're repenting. What do you think about that? Incline your ear and teach us and judge us according to your righteousness, O Yahweh, Lord of hosts. Are we doing it right? If not, please correct us so we may repent. Because we are causing more division than unity right now. Did that make sense? Deuteronomy 16, verse 19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, and thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Proverbs 24, verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Proverbs 28, 21. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that will be for a piece of bread that man will transgress. It's amazing. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with Elohim. It's in the Brihad Hashah. Colossians chapter 3, 25. For he that doth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You understand where I'm coming from right now? So if you're justified by faith, by the blood of Messiah, to be sanctified, to come into the covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then we have the same rights. We are equal as long as we stay in the covenant. You see what I mean? So you understand now what Paul is saying, there's no Jew or Gentile? We're talking about justification to be part of the congregation. Now, in the book of Acts, like I said earlier, there were God-fearing men and there were proselytes. Those were people of levels of observances before they took converted. To be part, instead of a sojourner, a stranger within your gates, now they became full-fledged Israel. See? So, let me ask you this. A lot of my Christian brothers make this mistake. They read the book of Acts, chapter 2, and they say, well, there are Gentiles there. Oh, wrong. Let's go there. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to show you something really interesting. The people that were there, they're either God-fearing men. The minimum that they were keeping were the laws of Noah. See, they were keeping some universal laws that Yahweh gave them, you know, to Noah, right? But now they want to get into a deeper relationship with Yahweh. They want to be part of the land. They want to be part of Israel. They recognize. So they start being observant. But you see, at the time, they want to make sure that you're walking in the thing before you make that transition. Walking in Torah, is it a piece of cake? Every week through the Torah portion, it circumcises your heart, doesn't it? I mean, every week. You want to really go through a circumcision? Start reading Vayikra, Leviticus, every year. Yeah. Everything changes. Everything is incredible. Now, listen to this. Now, verse 5 of chapter 2. Now, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout. Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Okay, Jews, comma, devout men from all over. Okay, now, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, that those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya are joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. These were not pagans. These people were keeping minimum the feast and the Shabbat and the kosher laws. Okay? Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speak in our own tongues, that wonderful works of Elohim. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever this could mean, others mocking, saying, they are full of new wine. Where were they when this was done happening? In the temple. Verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Where is it that they meet at one place in one accord? It's a Moedim. In the temple. If you're a pagan Gentile, you are not allowed in the temple courts. You are allowed in the court of the Gentiles. Now, listen to what it says right here in verse 22. It says, men of Israel, hear the words, Yeshua of Nazareth, a man attested by Elohim to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which Elohim did through him in your midst, and you yourselves also know. So he called them what? Men of Israel. There's some Jews. Men of Israel. When you keep reading, in verse 36 says, Therefore let all the house of Israel surely know. He's making a distinction between the men of Judea. And he's making a distinction between all the house of Israel. Because there were people who were in the dispersion who are coming for the feast from all the tribes. We see that right now. How many people from all the countries go to Israel for the feast? Are they all Jews? No. See, the word Jew and Israel has become synonymous. So you look at a person who lives in Israel, oh, he's a Jew. But even in Israel, there's a distinction. There are Israelis and there are Jews. You're an Israeli citizen. Okay? But not all of them there are actually Jews. Some of them are descendants of what? The Sephardim? Or some are descendants of the different types of tribes? They just found a tribe in India, Manasseh. You know, they found a tribe, the Lenda tribe in Africa. They're descendants of what? Of the priest, Levi. So they don't call themselves Jews. They said, we are the original Hebrews. See, this is language. Is this making sense? Now, James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of glory, which respect of person? He's talking about this issue in James chapter 2, verse 1. You know, in other words, when we're talking about people, you're not making a distinction. Verse 3 in the same chapter says, and ye have respect to him that wears the says gay clothing there. Let me find another word there. That's James chapter 2, verse 3. Okay, let me find a new version here, see what else it says. See, back then you can use that one, but there we go. And you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor person, you stand there or sit here on my full stool. Verse 4, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Isn't that exactly what is happening in some of the denominations in the Messianic movement? Even in the church. I used to go to Without Walls International Church, and I hope they get this tape. And I remember, and if you were not a football player, and you know, Tony, this is true, if you were not a football player, and if you didn't have any money, they would not sit you in front. You know that. And you could not have a meeting with the pastors there. And if you had a lot of money, and if you have fame, you were buddy buddies with the leadership. But if you were nobody, and you were somebody poor, man, I saw it with my own eyes. I lived it. I was one of the security guys there. I remember one time that I couldn't even pay my bills. And I go seeking out for help. They wouldn't want to help me. But then they're investing almost $200 or $300 on a fruit basket with all kinds of gifts because of the football. They had the Super Bowl here that year. And they were inviting all the superstars coming in. And they invested a whole bunch of money buying some stupid stuff for these guys who don't even care. And I'm going like, what's the deal? I can't even pay my bill. I'm paying my tithe here. I can't. And they're investing on these people who are leaving tonight because they want the money, you see. Is it judgmental? It's the truth. It's the truth. See, so they're making a distinction of people. They're doing exactly what James says not to do. And in the Messianic movement, my Christian and my Jewish brothers are doing the same thing. What does it say? Let's keep reading. Verse 4. And you have you not shown partiality amongst yourself and become judges in evil thoughts? Verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren. Has not Elohim not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs in the of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? You probably say, what in the world does that have to do with being a Gentile coming in and accepting Messiah? Well, guess what? See? A person can be a poor in money, but it can be as poor in spiritually too. So if you say because you're a Jew, you're better than somebody who's not a Jew, you are considering yourself rich because you deserve all the blessings. And he's poor because he's just a Gentile. He's just a goyim. He's a girl. He's just, okay, come on in. So I sit there. See how sarcastic I get with this? It irks me to know that my people, they don't like me. The Orthodox don't like me because I believe in Yeshua. The Christians don't like me because I keep the Torah. And the Messianics don't like me because I call them Yahweh. They call them Yahweh. I believe in the two house. They believe in one house. I keep the Hebrew, lunar calendar for the feast. They keep the rabbinical calendar. I keep the weekly Sabbath. They keep the lunar Sabbath. I call them Yeshua. They call them Yeshua. I mean, hello. How many of us have anything figured out? I don't know about you, but I don't have anything figured out. It's like my friend Tony says, you know, next year I might have to come back and repent because my life is ascending every year, a different level of maturity. So therefore, I might have said something that I have to repent. So I can feel like I have it all figured out. If I'm wrong, don't believe anything I say. Go look it up. Verify everything. And if I'm wrong, correct me and I have to repent. See, my goal is not to be better and acting like I'm holier than you. My goal is to provoke you to go back, search out the scripture, so you can be edified and you can be a Berean. That way you can correct me, I can correct you, we can walk towards our goal. You see what I mean? That's the whole bottom line. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Well, wait a minute. If I am keeping my Christian brothers from coming into the congregation, I remember an Orthodox Messianic believer in Puerto Rico. He heard me teach and he divided from our congregation because we are more pro-Yeshua. He believes in Yeshua, but he's just a man. That's it. And he's Orthodox. If you want to go eat in his house, you got to bring your own pots. Because the Judaism, you have to have two refrigerators, two all that stuff. You have to have two sets of... His mother-in-law, they wouldn't go have dinner in the house because, you see, and they're Messianics too, but they wouldn't go out and have dinner because they didn't have two refrigerators. So you know what the son-in-law did? Bought her a brand new set of pots to cook just for them when they got to their house. Come on! So now, we're supposed to walk in Torah, but now we're using Judaism to be a divider amongst family. Whew, that makes no sense to me. So you see, let's see what the Bible says about the royal law, which Christianity misunderstands. Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, for you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. So who is your neighbor? The stranger who dwells within you. Right? James chapter 2, verse 9. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the Torah as transgressor. Wow. Did that make sense? Are you getting something out of this? Amen. He says, if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the Torah as a transgressor. Transgressor of what? What Torah says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, or you shall love your neighbor, you shall love the stranger. You should not vex the stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. He tells you. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole Torah, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. True? See, that's been completely misunderstood. Listen to what it gives you a reference. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Curse is the one who does not confirm all the words of the Torah, and all the people shall say, Amen. So, if I have a Jewish brother trying to make a distinction between a convert who comes into the knowledge of the Messiah or comes into Torah, and he's making you feel like a second-class citizen, according to the book of James and according to the Torah, you are cursed. Because you see, you're supposed to love him as yourself. Even if he wants to keep the feast and he's willing to obey the Torah, then he has the same rights as one Torah for the native born and for the stranger, right? Yes. So far, am I making sense here? Yes. See, I don't want you to agree. I want you to see. I don't want you to agree with me just because it's me, right? Because we all like each other here. I want you to go back and look it up. You see, every single person here has got a notebook. That's great. Because I know you're going to go back and look them up and say, you know what, Rico? I don't think so. It's great. Keep me accountable. All right? Oh, my Lord, have mercy on us. You know, I'm worn out. I'm really worn out with this issue. I'm completely worn out. It just breaks my heart. What is sin according to the Torah, according to the Brit HaShah? The best definition of sin, you find it in the New Testament, 1 John 3:4. Whoever committed sin transgresses the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. So, if I'm telling a Gentile who's coming in, hey, you can be in the congregation, but you're just a goyim. You sit there, you can worship with us. You can do this, but you know what? You don't really have to eat what we eat. You can eat pig. It's okay. You don't have to eat kosher. That's for the Jews. You don't have to keep the feast. It's okay. You can celebrate Christmas. You're just a Gentile. They're teaching this stuff. Now, we're going to look into Scripture, see what Yahweh says. Okay? Verse 16, 29 of Leviticus. Says, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do not work at all, whether it will be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. Talking about Yom Kippur. So wait a minute. If I sojourn within Israel, if I walk according to the commandments of Israel, if I believe in the Elohim of Israel, that means that I have to walk according to the commandments of the God of Israel, right? So therefore, the feast apply to me, correct? Because they're not the Jews' feast, they're Yahweh's feast. He set them up as signs and seasons, as appointments, to do what? To sanctify us, to show the world that we belong to Him. By the way, you know the word Moedim, right? Moed. In the Hebrew, the root word or the word Moed, Moedim, is Ya'ad. You know what it means? Betrothed. One of the definitions to be betrothed. So when you keep the feast, you are rehearsing and showing the world that you are betrothed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are rehearsing the weddings of the Lamb. Have you ever heard that one before? So if I tell a Gentile who wants to follow Yahweh, oh, you don't have to follow what we do. You're just a Gentile. You can keep Christmas. You are actually asking him to come into the covenant of faith. And then you ask him to break it and to be an idol worshiper. Leviticus 17, verse 12. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, no soul of yours shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourns among you eat blood. So, hey, kosher, it applies to you, brother. Whether you like it or not. Hey, maybe you're not there yet. If you're still eating pig, hey, bro, it's not a salvation issue. You're just going to die quicker. It's okay. I still love you. You're not there yet. It's okay. Just don't complain to me when you get sick. I don't want to hear it. Now, I'm talking about somebody who already knows the Word of God. If somebody is just growing, coming into the faith and doesn't have the answers, hey, I understand. See, I'm not going to judge you because of that. I'm not going to judge you because you're not there yet. Are you believing in Yeshua? Yes. You want to follow Torah? Yes. As you keep reading Torah every year, remember the first time you started reading this? It's like a cold water in your body, isn't it? It's like everything you thought was right was wrong. And everything you thought was real was not real. It's the whole matrix. It's everything is a lie. And you go, whoa, wait a minute. What's happening in my life? And then you start, the first time around, you want to follow so zealously and you go overboard trying to do what is pleasing. Because you love them so much, you want to submit and you want to let them know how much you love them. And you do whatever just to make them happy, right? But we don't have the maturity, we don't have the tools to allow us to understand to the fullness of his will until we start reading Torah. And he's very wise. He starts you in the beginning, Genesis. He wants you to know right from the get-go. Maybe you don't understand it all, but I just want you to understand that I created everything. Bereshit ba'a Elohimet ha'shamayim va'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did it. So I want you to get something straight. I'm your creator. Just like he did in Egypt when he's in Mount Sinai. I am Yahweh Elohim who pulled you out of the first commandment. I am Yahweh Elohim. He wanted to let him know exactly like he did in Genesis. I want you to know who I am. Let me introduce myself. I am Yahweh. I did not reveal myself as Yahweh to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They knew me as El Shaddai, Elohim, you know, but I'm revealing myself to you in a different level, in an intimate level. I want you to know who really I am. It's incredible, isn't it? So he wants to let you know at a deeper understanding who he is. It's powerful. So now when you come to the knowledge on this new stuff, when you start reading the Torah portions, every week is a circumcision of your heart. Man, let me show you what I learned recently. It says, Yeshua says, Matthew 5:17, verse 17 through 19. Listen what I learned. It's very interesting. It says, do not think that I came to destroy the Torah and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle by no means shall pass from the Torah until it is all fulfilled. We still have the same heaven and earth, right? Amen. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does not teach them shall be called great. I'm sorry. But whoever does and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what's the least commandment in the Torah? The least. It's when you go walking by the way and you see a bird's nest on the ground falling from the tree. You know that 3 years ago I'm in Puerto Rico and I'm visiting my family. I moved out back there. You remember when I moved back and I'm over there and I'm walking by the beach front there and I'm walking with my mom and my dad and some lady that we met. We're talking about the Hebrew roots and stuff. And I see this bird's nest on the floor. Oh, you should have seen me. I was like a kid. I was just so excited. I got a chance to fulfill a commandment. I didn't know at the time was the least of them. See, the Torah says that if you have a bird's nest, if they have eggs, you can eat the egg. We just put the bird's nest back because the birds deserve a place to live. By the way, they build houses better than people do. Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway, so I walk through and I pick it up and I tell my dad, oh my God, you know, I'm like a little kid. I got to put this back. But why? I said, Dad, it's a commandment. But what does it matter? You don't understand. I just want to obey the Lord because how often you get an opportunity to do something like that? How was the last time you were walking by the way you saw a bird's nest on the ground? Man, that was beautiful. And I was so frustrated because the trunk was really high and the branches was too high. I couldn't put it up there. And I tried to get in the trunk. My dad goes like, what are you doing? See, was I doing it because I want to be legalistic? No, you see, I love Yahweh with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And if it takes for me to put a nest burst, bird's nest back to express to him how much I'm willing to obey him, what an honor. See, he does those things to prove if you're really listening. Those little bitty things. When I was in Israel, there was another one. There's a commandment that says that if there's somebody with a need, your job is to extend your hand. I'm not doing this to my son because he'll take all my money. My job is to extend my hand. To extend my hand and let him pick what he needs. Well, I don't know about you. That's faith. You know, let's see if you see the big non-denomination charismatic church will say that. No, give me $1,000. The Lord told me give me $1,000. He didn't say that. Oh, you give me $1,000, he'll be 100-fold. He'll bless you. Okay, if you really believe that, then you give me the $1,000 and he'll bless you 1,000-fold. You know? So what happens is, I'm in Jerusalem, and I've been doing some martial arts seminars, and I have a lot of shekels and all kinds of stuff, and all of a sudden a person asked me for 15 shekels. Oh, that's another chance. I'm in the land of Israel, and there's a needy asking me for it. And I just, okay. I pulled out all the shekels and the money and said, take what you need. He goes, I tell you, he's a trip. Take what you need. He goes, I need 15 shekels. You need more? Take more. And I put all my money in there, dollars and everything. He took 15 shekels, exactly what he needed. I was like, wow. I had a chance to fulfill the commandment. But what did it teach me? It taught me that if I see that guy again asking for it, I'm going to take care of him. See, he shows me he's a man of integrity. See, in the Western society, the needy, you make him feel like a needy. In Torah base, you build up his confidence and his integrity. You trust that he has a need and he's asking, but you trust him enough that you give him the integrity as a mature man to say, what do you need? And you decide. If you take more than what you need and you take advantage of me, I'm believing that Yahweh would give me that back. And then I know your integrity and I will never help you again. Because I recognize that you're not really having a need. You're just trying to take advantage. So his heart is revealed to me. To teach you. To build up confidence in this brother here. He's having a need. Don't make him feel like a fool, like a poor guy who can't do anything. Show him that you trust him even in the midst of a need. He's homeless, but it's okay. You're still a man. I trust you. See, not right now. He'll take my money. See, but you see what happens? So wait a second. So am I going to make a distinction with a Gentile? That was a Jew in Jerusalem. So what if a needy comes around here? I need $10 to go eat. Okay? Try it one day. If you have an extra $20 or $30, it's hard to come by now, huh? You pull it out and say, hey, what do you need? And see what he does. Put it to the test. And if he takes more than what he asked you, or if he only takes what he needs, that's a man of integrity. He's having a tough time. Keep him in prayer and help him. Because someday it might be you. Full circle. You never know if it's an angel coming around. You never know. He does that. You know, he puts you in little things like that. Isn't that interesting, the commandments, how it does it? So, you know, a Gentile comes through. He wants to seek out the blessings and the wealth of Yahweh through his Torah. And now I'm going to limit him? How does that apply to talking to a Jew between a Gentile? Okay, guess what? All right, all the blessings are here. Ooh, they're for Israel. No, for the Jews. Because they don't say it's Israel, it's the Jews. One tribe instead of 12. Okay? There are 12 tribes, but no, it's the Jews. Only one tribe. They don't even know the difference. I talked to rabbis. Oh, that's semantics. No, that's the Bible. So they come through, and the salvation is to anybody who believes. And as soon as you confess, you have full rights as a people as long as you obey the Torah, right? No. I want you to accept Yeshua, but you don't have full access to the blessings because you're not a Jew. You can't be in leadership. Oh, I got a question for you. Caleb, what tribe was he from? You got Joshua, and then you have Caleb, right? Tony, you know this. Caleb, supposedly from the tribe of Judah, right? Well, guess what? He was a Kenizzite. He was not from the tribe of Judah. I don't know how that happened. He grabbed himself in there. He's counted as Judah. And he got to be possessing of the land. Why? Well, when things got really hairy and the 12 spies went to the land and the 10 brought a bad report, he stood up for righteousness. He says, you know what? There are giants in the land, but if we can take them, Yahweh's with us. And Joshua did the same thing too. Right. See, they don't think about that, and they'll give you 20,000 explanations why Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Well, that's not what his genealogy says. It's very clear his father was a Kenizzite, right? It doesn't say Yehuda. So many things. I love this. Here we go. Leviticus 17:15 says, you enjoying yourself so far? Leviticus 17:15 says, and every soul that eateth that which died on itself and that which was torn with peace, whether it will be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. Then he shall be clean, the sojourner and the native born. Leviticus 18, verse 26. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. You shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation or a stranger that sojourns among you. See, I'm showing you there's a distinct difference there between a sojourner and a native born, right? But let's say that sojourner wants to come through here and they sit back there. Are you going to treat him any different? The Bible says no. As long as he stays within the obedience of the Torah, you're supposed to treat him as one of the house. That's the whole principle behind it. Leviticus 19:33. If a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not vex him. You should not hate him. Leviticus 24:16. And he that blasphemed the name of Yahweh. It doesn't say, and the Jew that blasphemed the name of Yahweh. That's not what it says. And he that blasphemed on the name of Yahweh, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemed of the name of Yahweh, shall be put to death. In other words, if the stranger blasphemed the name of Yahweh, then he has the same penalty just as you. Is this making sense so far? Leviticus 24:22. You shall have one manner of law, of Torah, as well for the stranger as for the one of your own country. For I am Yahweh your Elohim. What happened to what Yahweh says? It's no longer good enough. So Yahweh says, anybody has the same rights. It's one Torah for you and for whoever else, if they come in. Now they're making a distinctive personalities here. Oh, you're green, you can't fit in here. You don't wear the kippah the right way. You don't wear talit the right way or the tzitzit. You know, it's funny, in Israel, some people, not all of them, but some people, they just start touching you. Hey, how you doing? They start feeling your back. They're not trying to be nice sometimes. They just want to make sure if you wear a talit katan. See, we're wearing like this, right? When I'm in Israel, I don't wear this one. So I wear the talit katan because I don't want the hassle. See, they want to be, it's not good enough that I'm keeping the commandments. See, I got to keep it the way they want me to keep it. Has to be a prescribed manner according to how they say it. They don't acknowledge the fact that I'm trying to keep it, but it has to be the way they do it. Do you know the Messianics are doing the same thing? There's chaos everywhere we go. So where do we fit anymore? If I go to a congregation, I can't use the name of Yahweh. They get offended. Well, that's his name. You know, do we have to figure out how to pronounce it? No, we're still learning. So can I disregard Yahweh? No. Can I disregard Yahweh? No. Can I disregard Yahweh? No, because we don't know which one it is. He'll reveal it in due time. But I'm going to try to at least do the closest I can. You know what I mean? Leviticus 25, verse 6. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for any, and for thy stranger that sojourns with you. Numbers 9, verse 14 says, and if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto Yahweh. It's not keeping the Passover unto the Jews, unto Yahweh. According to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance for both the stranger and for him that was born in the land. Notice it doesn't say for the Goyim. A Goyim is not interested in worshiping Yahweh and the feast. He's a pagan. He's a heathen. He's an idolater. He's a murderer. But it's talking about somebody who is willingly submitting to the commandment of Yahweh. How can you keep somebody who in the world wants to do this anymore? Think about it. Like when I was in Israel, they told me, well, you're not a Jew. Your grandma's not a Jew. Your mom is not a Jew. Your great-grandmother. You know, who are you, the genealogy patrol? You know, forget about me keeping the commandments. They didn't care whether or not I was keeping the commandments. They want to ask me, is your mom a Jew, your grandmother a Jew, your great-grandmother a Jew? Well, wait a minute, I'm keeping the Torah. What's more important? They don't care. They just want genealogy. They want to prove that you deserve the blessings of Yahweh. Rubbish. That's not biblical. You know, you circumcise the heart. Could the girl bring a offering unto Yahweh? Could a girl, a sojourner, bring an offering unto Yahweh? It says in Numbers 15, verse 14. And if a stranger sojourns with you, and whoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahweh, as ye do, so he shall do. So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. We don't have a temple. So therefore, our lips, our praise becomes as a sweet odor unto Yahweh's nostrils. So my praise becomes as a living sacrifice. My body is a living sacrifice, right? So if I'm a Jew and I'm only the one who's supposed to worship him, and I'm the one who gets the blessings, so when that Gentile who just converted and who wants to walk in, who's considered a sojourner because he's still walking in obedience, learning the ways, right? So are his praises and worship accepted? Well, wait a minute. According to their standards, they can't even really take full-fledged all the things that they can partake in the congregation. There's a distinction between them. So if there's a distinction between the blessings or what office you can hold in the congregation, so what's the difference? Why even bother worshiping Yahweh? He only hears the Jews praise. You see what I'm saying? Does it line up with Scripture? It says right there very clearly, one ordinance shall be, Numbers 15:15 says, one ordinance shall be for both of for you of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourns with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger before Yahweh be. How much do people read? Do they read? Come on, let's be real. Do they really read what it says? I mean, what is wrong with the word of Yahweh? Don't we all believe the word of Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. I was hearing a Christian teacher the other day. He goes, I believe the word of God is inspired from Genesis to Revelation. I believe the word of God is true. He never changes. And I'm thinking, well, what happened to the Sabbath? What happened to the feast? What happened to the Torah? Right. So well, one side of the mouth, they're saying everything stands. It never changes. With the other side, they're contradicting. They say, oh, that's done away with. Wait a minute. You just said it stands forever. You can't have it both ways. Right. Flip a coin. Come on. You know? What do you feel like today? You feel like really being obedient? You just feel like accommodating your theology? You know, I was listening to a CD. It was really interesting. DVD, I'm sorry. About creation and stuff like that. This guy is powerful. But he will say stuff and he will quote stuff. And then he's proving a point about creation, which is great. But the very same verses, he's contradicting in his speech. So he sees one aspect of it, but then he misses the other aspect of it. Oh yeah, the word of God is inspired. I believe the whole word of God. And you got to be a good Christian. But when you talk about those things that he needs to give up, you know what I mean? It's just like theology. Oh, no. It's just, so you can't have it both ways. Numbers 15:16 says, one law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you. Now, how many verses have I given you so far?
A bunch,
right? I mean, do you see the sequence of events? Is it the same language? It's more than two or three verses, right? By the evidence of two or three witnesses, any matter is established, correct? So how many verses have we talked about the same context? So for what you gather, anybody who believes in Yeshua, there's no longer Jew or Gentile. That's exactly what Paul is trying to say. Paul's saying, listen, you're justified by faith. You're part of the congregation. You are one with Messiah. There's neither Jew or Gentile. See, we are all part of the commonwealth of Israel. He's telling you what it is. Now, check this out. Forgiveness to all if they teshuvah, if they repented. Numbers 15:26. And it shall be forgiven to all, it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel. And the stranger that sojourns among you, seeing all the people were in ignorance. So if you repent, and you're ignorant, you didn't know what we were doing, which, by the way, hello, we've all been there. You know, there's forgiveness if we repent, right? So basically, if you're telling me that you don't have the full right, as I do because I'm a Jew, then I'm telling you that you really haven't repented and God doesn't accept you. That's really what you're saying. That you're not good enough in the eyes of the Lord. You're good enough, just stay in the back. That irks me. That drives me nuts. It kills me. I'm telling you. Chapter 15, verse 29. That chapter is pretty good. You shall have one Torah for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourn among you. Numbers 15, verse 30. But the soul that doth That sins presumptuously or willingly or rebelliously, okay? Whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproach the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Is there a difference? So if you rebel and you're walking in the faith, whether you're Jew or Gentile or a sojourner, not a Gentile, but a sojourner, if you're walking in the congregation, bro, if you willfully sin, you're gone. Numbers 35, verse 15. I hope all of you listening through the CD will really go back and verify these verses. This is the slowest I've ever gone, because I want people to really get the picture. And I want to thank all of you here for giving me the room to really take my time and go through this, okay?
This is the end of part 1 of 2. Please insert the next disc to continue the teaching.